It's the best thing I've ever known. How many can say amen to that tonight? Hallelujah. It's the best thing I've ever done. Amen, amen. Thank you, musicians. Hallelujah. Well, as you can see, it's communion night, and periodically we like to just go over the scriptures concerning communion and foot washing, why we do it, and just to remind everybody, so it doesn't become a routine, it doesn't become something that we just are checking the box, or that we're doing it out of obedience according to His Word, but we want to do it from our hearts. We want it to be real. We want it to be fresh. And you got enough word this morning to, so, praise the Lord. So we'll read tonight from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We'll start at the 17th verse. Now recall, this is Paul, who's the apostle to the Gentiles, and he's laying the foundation of our faith. He's warning others to be careful what they build upon what he laid out. And he said, if somebody thinks that they're spiritual, you know, let them first acknowledge that what he says is the word of God. So we have complete confidence in what Paul instructed us to do. And, of course, it's in obedience to what Jesus told his disciples to do. So 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not. Now remember, as we look at this here in just a moment, the Corinthian church were Gentiles that were just coming out of the world, and they were just coming out of their heathen traditions. And if we were to look at them today, we'd think, oh, really? Those are Christians? But God catches us first. You know, when you go fishing, you don't clean the fish, you catch the fish. And once you catch them, well, then you can clean them. But you got to catch them first. So the Gentiles, the Corinthians were just coming in, and Paul was having to instruct them and bring correction. He says, now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you. And he says, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. So it's that law of contrast where God will show what is right by bringing in what isn't right many times. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. So at that particular time, they were treating it like it was dinner time. So when they came together for the Lord's Supper, they were looking to get filled. They were looking to drink and eat and fill their bellies. And of course, there were poor people, rich people, people of all different levels that were in the church. And those that were rich, they could afford to get drunk and eat a whole bunch. And of course, we know that the purpose of communion is not to get drunk. And the poor people, you know, they might not have even had much of anything at all. So he said, when you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper. And one is hungry and another is drunken. He says, what? Have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. We don't have these issues, but we're just reading what Paul said concerning this. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, that means that you haven't confessed your sin, or you haven't given your heart to the Lord, shall be guilty of the body and of the blood of the Lord. Now, I want to just remind the church once again here tonight, if you haven't given your heart to the Lord, you shouldn't be coming up and taking communion. I think we had somebody slip by me the last time, but parents, just keep that in mind. If your children haven't given their hearts to the Lord, they're not going to go to hell. They haven't come to the age of accountability. If something were to happen to them, they'll go to heaven, right? But communion is for those that have given their hearts to the Lord. Or as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. In other words, confess your sin. If there's any reason why you can't partake of it, we'll go make that right first. And then eat the bread, drink of the cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. So he's saying some actually go home to be with the Lord sooner than they would have, because they aren't doing this the proper way. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged and we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. We'll bow our heads. Father, as we approach this subject here tonight, Lord, we ask that you would reveal this to each and every one, Lord. And Father, that we would be able to partake of this with a clear conscience tonight and do this out of obedience to your word. We want to be fearful in the sense that it's a reverential respect, and we want to make sure that we approach this properly, diligently, with sincerity. We ask that you would search our hearts, Lord. But Lord, once you've done that, and once we can say all is well, well, then we want to come up boldly. We don't want to come up doubtfully. We want to come boldly, Lord, and knowing that there's healing in the cup, Father, and that there's blessings in obeying your word and partaking of these symbols. We know that they are symbols, Lord, that it's not actually your body, it's not actually your blood, but it's symbolic of your body, of the word, and it's symbolic of the life that was in your blood that we're partaking of. Father, I pray that you just be with us, move upon each and every heart here tonight. May you be pleased. May we be pleased, Lord. May we all be happy here tonight as we obey your word. Bless each and every one, we pray. We love you and thank you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated so we won't be long. John chapter 13, so this is the first feast of the Passover. This is the first time that the Lord's Supper is partaken of by the Lord himself with his disciples. And so this is, obviously Paul wasn't there when this took place before Jesus' death, but Paul is basing what he said upon what Jesus instituted, and we see that it dovetails perfectly. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, and he laid aside his garments, and he took a towel, and he girded himself. And after he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded, then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, you're going to wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, You're never going to wash my feet. That's that zealous Peter, right? Over my dead body, and you're not going to go to the cross. I'll never deny you. You're never going to wash my feet. Very zealous. You're not going to wash my feet. Jesus answered and said, If I don't wash thee, you don't have any part with me. So he goes from one extreme to the other now. Now he says, Wash me from head to toe. Lord, not my feet only, but my hands and my head. And Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore he saith, You're not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. So we're happy tonight, right? And we're going to be happy because we're going to do these things in obedience to the Lord's word. Now, I skipped over the Lord said concerning communion. Hold on just a moment here, if you would. Somebody say, Praise the Lord. Is he good to you? Amen. He is. I don't normally look the scriptures up while we're having service. Pardon me? 22? Yes, that's right. Matthew 26:26. It even kind of, 26:26. So. Thank you. Matthew 26:26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Now people will take this. The Catholic Church took that and said, Well, see, he said that's his blood. It's not his blood. What do you think? He did a little transfusion or stuck himself and poured his own blood in a cup? It was wine. He took the cup, gave thanks, gave it to them, said, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. when they had sung a hymn and they went out, into the Mount of Olives, then Jesus saith unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. So they're hearing these words, but they're really not catching the significance of all that was taking place. And in a case you've never been taught or it hasn't ever occurred to you, the Lord's Supper, as he's breaking bread and wine, it's what the Jews had been celebrating as the Feast of the Passover, right? And so the Feast of the Passover, if you recall, the children of Israel, before they were leaving Egypt, the death angel was going to pass through the land. It was one of the plagues that was going to smite Egypt before Israel was going to be set free to go into the Promised Land. And so they were told to take a lamb, to examine it for 7 days, make sure that it was without spot or wrinkle. If it met the requirements as a worthy lamb, then the lamb was to be slain, one for each household. Then the blood of the lamb was supposed to be applied to the doorposts or the lintel on the outside of the home. And then inside, they were commanded to take the lamb and to don't boil it and don't serve it cold, but to cook it with fire and to eat every part of it. Don't just pick at it. And to do it in haste, because they were with their shoes on and they're getting ready to go into this great exodus. But doing that was showing your faith in the promise that your sins were being taken care of. And it was a shadow of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ himself, that was going to die for us and shed his blood, and he would become our Passover. And so that's why Jesus said, you take of this cup and you eat of this bread, and this bread is a type of my body. It was a lamb that they ate before, now it's bread and wine. Jesus told us many times, he said, I am the bread that came from heaven. He said, I'm the bread that the children of Israel ate in their wilderness journey. And he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And he said, I am that bread which comes out of heaven. And of course, the wine is when I was in the Baptist church, the Baptists and some of the holiness groups, they wouldn't actually use wine in communion because, any partaking of alcohol was taboo in their book. So they used grape juice instead. But wine is what Jesus used, and he used it in particular because it symbolizes that there's life in it, right? It symbolizes that there's blood that was shed, but then the blood cell had to be burst so that the life that was in that blood cell could then come back on the heart of the believer. So when you receive his spirit, you're partaking of that. You're partaking of that life that was in that blood that was shed for you. When you feed on the body word of the Son of Man, when you feed upon the word, you're taking that bread of life and you're eating it, right? So you are doing this continually. And we do it as we come together. But we're commanded to do it symbolically, periodically, often enough that, not too often that it becomes a routine, but often enough that it just reminds us of his death until he returns. And also it's a good way to make sure everybody's prayed up. And, you should be, if the rapture was going to happen tonight, nobody should have a jolt of fear. Right. If I told you, at 9 o'clock tonight, or let's see, it's almost 7. In 5 minutes, the rapture is going to occur. There shouldn't be a person in the building that has a worry. Right? Why? Because you're prayed up. Well, you should pray up all the time. Every hour. We used to say every day, but then we read you a quote. Every hour. Amen. Amen. So, in partaking of this in symbol form, you know, it's also a good way to make sure that the whole church is pulling together and that there's, so that we don't have sickness in the body that because people are partaking of it unworthily. One of the biggest challenges that church groups have in particular is that people will hold grudges. They won't forgive, and then they'll partake of communion, and well, nobody knows and what have you. Well, then the body gets sick, right? The body doesn't move forward. Individuals may, but the body as a whole will suffer for it, right? And as Paul said, the Corinthian church, some people were going home to be with the Lord sooner than they would have because people were taking this too lightly. Now, so we want to do it sincerely. It shouldn't be a big deal. I mean, if you're prayed up every hour, what's different? Right? What are you doing different? Nothing. Right? Probably the only thing that you might be giving extra special attention to is whether or not there's any issues between you and anybody else, right? Not just if you've offended somebody, but if you know that somebody's offended, you don't know that you did anything wrong, but you know that somebody's offended or stumbled, well, then you want to go to that person, right? Jesus said if you are bringing an offering to the Lord, to the altar, and you have aught against your brother, or you know your brother has aught against you, leave your offering, go make that right, because God's not going to receive your offering. You're wasting it. He's not going to hear your prayer. So these are serious things, right? It just, to me, here we are in the end time. We're supposed to be the pinnacle. We're supposed to be the church that has been restored, and we've got the fullness of the word so that word can be lived. Much has been given to us. Much is required. But we've been given all of this so that we can no longer hinder the coming of the Lord. There's no marks against us as there has been through each church age, right? So how people can come to the communion table and not make things right, to me, is a mystery. I don't know why people would even come to church, right? But then, having said that, we'll get the other extreme. We'll get people that we found that if we announced it's communion night, that half the people wouldn't be here, or a third, or a certain number of people wouldn't be here, because they're not ready to take communion. Well, it's a double-edged sword. You don't want to take it unworthily, right? But you don't want to not do it either, because that's just as wrong. We're commanded to do this. And so if you can't take communion, then that means you haven't made something right. And that means if the rapture was to happen tonight, you're not going. And if you've got the Holy Ghost will grind on you, bring a conviction. It'll kill you until you make that right. You'll want to make it right. I thank God for that conviction, don't you? Blessed be his wonderful name. So I'm just going to read a couple of statements. This one's from Jubilee Year, paragraph 174. You notice Paul here, those Corinthians, they didn't get it. They went up there and they even got drunk at the Lord's table. And they eat and drink, done everything wrong. Paul said, when you come together, if a man's hungry, let him eat at home. But when you come together, tarry one for another. In other words, wait on one another. You say, well, now here's a brother that I don't think ought to take the communion. Well, don't run up there and jerk him out. Have patience with him. And after the service is over, and a time when come over to his house some night and sit down and say, "Brother, now forgive me if I'm wrong, but I seen you down there the other day on the street drunk," whatever he was doing, "out with some other lady that wasn't your wife or you're taking communion. I love you, brother. Let's you and I pray over this thing and straighten it up. See, wait on one another. Do service for one another. Don't be bigger than somebody else. Try and see how little you can be. Can't help anybody if you're lording over them anyway, right?" I've often heard say, don't never be big in your own sight. If you're big, let it be in God's sight. Be little in your own sight. Every man that humbles himself, God will exalt. But those who exalt himself, God will bring abase. See, be little. That's from the scripture that says, if you humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, if you don't humble yourself, you will be humbled. You don't want God, so we don't want to pray that prayer, "Oh God, make me humble." You don't want him to make you humble. You want to choose to humble yourself, right? And if you don't do that, you will be humbled. Again, possessing all things. Is your sins under the blood? By faith tonight in Christ Jesus, we shall now take the communion. Not the communion. You commune as you eat with one another. Just commune with God. The communion is not the bread. It's not the wine. The communion is talking back and forth with God. And this is a symbol that we take, that we believe in his death, broken body, his burial, his resurrection. We believe in the presence of the Holy Spirit. We believe that he's given us eternal life. We cannot die. We pass from death unto life. And someday, when we separate from one another here, we'll rise again in the resurrection with each other, joined together with Christ Jesus as a body. Amen. Upon these bases, and the confession of my sins, and my faith in the Son of God, I take myself and the church before these articles that God left for us to do to show forth his death until he comes. Jesus said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Eat, do this in remembrance of me." Our Heavenly Father, after we have confessed our sins, hearing your word, after we have confessed that we are unworthy, and we are trusting only in the merits of the Son of God, we're unworthy creatures. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us of all that we have did. And now by faith we come to the table of the Lord. And now as this bread is presented to represent the body of our Lord, I pray, Father, that you'll sanctify it to its intended purpose. And may every person that partakes of this have eternal life in their soul. And may that every person takes it have healing in their body and live the appointed time that you've given them. And may they serve you all the days of their life and be raised up in the last day in the resurrection to be gathered together with the tribes of the earth that are redeemed by the blood of Christ. Grant it, Lord, in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. The Bible said also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, "This is the cup of the New Testament. As oft as you drink this, you show forth the Lord's death until he come." Heavenly Father, we hold to you the fruit of the vine tonight, which is wine, this wine. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll sanctify this wine. It represents the blood that was shed for us at Calvary. Through this blood, we have remission of our sins by faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Forgive us of all of our unbelief, Lord, and give us faith and understanding. And make us your servants, Lord, that we can serve you all our days. Be with us, Father, as we join together around this table, and bless us in this fine fellowship and communion with you. And may you speak to our hearts and point to us our work that we should do. Grant it, Lord. Sanctify this wine for its intended purpose. In Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Amen. So here's how the church aid messenger did it. It's just based on what Paul said, just not making some fancy ceremony out of it. And you don't have to approach in a certain way, but you're having communion with him. And these are symbols to remind us of that communion. again in one more in the message ordination, he says, we believe that when we come together, he said, tarry one for another. In other words, wait on one another. The word tarry means to wait. Wait on one another. Now, as has been accustomed to us, we take that scripture in this way. When we do this, we just bow our heads and the congregation prays for we pastors, and we pastors pray for our congregation. That's how we wait on each other, by serving each other, by praying. You pray, God forgive my pastor. Now, if you've got something against your pastor, you won't be able to say that, right? Instead, you'll say, God, scorch him. This is supposed to be monsoon season. Let that lightning fall. God, forgive my pastor. If there's anything in his life they have done, you forgive them for it. Forgive them. They don't mean to do it. And we come right back, the pastors, praying for our congregation. God, this little flock that you give us to watch over, if there's anything wrong in their life, take it, Father. Take it away, Father. So that we can all stand together around and fellowship around, knowing that we're coming here, keeping the order of God and taking the communion. I think it's a sweet time of fellowship. Let us pray now as we bow our heads silently. You pray for us and we pray for you. Brother Branham softly whispers a prayer for 40 seconds as the congregation silently prays. Father, as we take this communion, as we call it communion, it is in remembrance of you. And when this little beaten wafer touches our tongues and goes into our mouth, may we recognize that he was bruised and mashed and torn for our sins, and that the veil that hid him from us, now he's in us, the Holy Spirit. And when we receive the wine, may we realize that it was by his stripes that we are healed. By his blood that we are saved, the life that was in the blood. Now, Father, gather us together for this solemn occasion, forgiving our sins. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. One more. This is communion in Tucson. Then when we come to the Lord's table, we must come in reverence, love, and respect of look where we would have been if it hadn't have been for him. How many can say that tonight? I know where I would be. I wouldn't be alive tonight, I'm sure of that. Look at where we would have been if it hadn't have been for him. See, look where, therefore Paul, I think, in saying this, wherefore when we come together to eat and tarry one for another, that is, other words, just wait a few minutes, pray, check yourself out. And if you know a brother is in there just about to do something that's wrong or something, and you pray for him too, see, tarry one for another. Wait just a minute, pray. If there's any feelings between you on something, don't go make that right first, see? Go straighten that up first, because they want to come here just as pure as we can be. And our thoughts of one another and to God and to each other. And then when we come to fellowship around the table of the Lord, see? And we do this because that we're giving thanks to him and among one another, eating the bread between each other, drinking the wine between each other as his blood and his flesh. Except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you, Jesus said. See, you see, that's what the Bible said. Except you do it, there's no life, you see? You are then more or less showing that you're ashamed to identify yourself as a Christian because of the life that you live. And then this is really the showdown. Then if you don't do it, you have no life. Let me read that again. If you don't do it, you have no life. If you don't do it, you have no life. If you have that life, you'll do it. If it takes your hide off, you'll do it. If you don't do it, you have no life. If you do it unworthily, you're guilty of the body of the Lord. Same thing in water baptism. If we say we believe on Jesus Christ, that he saved us from sin and we're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, why? We bring disgrace to him. We do the things that's wrong. We'll have to pay for that. And another thing, when we do that, we are trying to profess one thing and do another. That's the trouble of us today. I'm saying us, me, in the church that the Lord God has let me speak to in these last hours, that we believe that we're in the closing time. We believe that God has given us a message. It's been ordained of God. It's been proven of God. It's been showed of God. Now we must come to him with reverence and love, with purity of heart and mind and soul. You know, the hour will soon arise when right among us the Holy Spirit will speak out like it did in Ananias and Sapphira. Remember, see, that hour is arriving. Now you just remember that, see, that God is going to dwell among his people. That's what he wants to do now. We can receive the message as saying, if I was a young man and I was hunting for a wife and I could find a wife, I'd say, she's just perfect. She's a Christian. She's a lady. She's all of this. I got confidence. Well, no matter how much confidence, how much I think that she's nice, I've got to receive her. And she's got to receive me, see, upon these vows. Well, the same thing we find is this message. We see it's right. We see that God vindicates that it's right. It's perfectly right. Year after year, year after year, it continues right, continues right. Everything it says happening just the way he said. Now we know that it's right, but don't do it from an intellectual standpoint. If you do, you got a second-handed religion. We don't want a second-handed religion, something that somebody else has experienced and we're trying to live off of it, of their testimony. Amen. Let's stand tonight. We'll bow our heads. Father, we're so grateful that we have this opportunity to be obedient to your word once again, Lord, and to honor, to commemorate your death until you come, and to recognize, Lord, that your body was given for us, your blood was shed for us. Lord, that we feed upon your word, and you are the word made flesh. We feed upon the life that was in the word, filled with your Holy Spirit. Lord, as we do this together. We're a body. And it shows that we truly believe that we are a body, that we're not just individuals, but we're parts that make up a body. Each one of us connected. Each one of us having a purpose. Each one of us playing a part. Lord, we wouldn't want to be a part in the body that was bringing sickness into the body. We know in the natural, if we had a part in our body that had sickness in it, that we know that doctors would want to go in and remove whatever it was that would poison the body, that would bring sickness in. Likewise, Lord, we wouldn't want to intentionally bring sickness into the body, that it would affect others in the body. So, Father, we ask that you would examine us tonight. Lord, that you would search our hearts. And Father, we don't believe that this is something that we need to fast and pray over, because we should be prayed up every hour. This should become, I don't want to say a routine in the sense that we're just going through the motions, but routine in the sense that it's something that we're continually doing, that we're continually watchful of. And because we want to be able to say at every moment in time, all is well. We don't want to give the enemy any reason to hinder your word going forth in our lives. We don't want any sin in our lives to hinder your word going forth. And we certainly don't want to be a stumbling block to our brothers or sisters. We want to help one another. We want to wait on one another. We want to tarry for one another. So, Father, as we stand before you as a body once again, this communion service, Lord, every time we come together, we're having communion. We're communing with you. We're communing together one with another. But tonight, Lord, as we take of these symbols in commandment to your word, we ask, Lord, that you would take that bread and sanctify it, Lord, to the goodness of our bodies. May it bring health and strength to the body. And likewise, Lord, the wine, may you sanctify that to the strengthening of our bodies, Lord, to the goodness of our bodies. And may it bring health into each and every one. May there not be a sick one amongst us. For we believe that healing is in the cup. Father, may there not be anything in between us. Father, as we pray one for another, as we wait upon one another, Father, we're so thankful that we can have this opportunity, that we can do this, Lord, that no matter what might be wrong, it can be put under the blood, and we can say all is well. And we can put it, Lord, you put it in the sea of your forgetfulness, and we can put it behind us, Lord, and press forward, not looking backwards, but pressing forward to the mark, the high calling that's in Christ. So we ask that your blessings be upon each and every one, Lord. And Father, may each and every one of us, may we search our hearts, and may we examine ourselves, Lord. And Lord, if we've once we've confessed whatever needs to be confessed here tonight, Lord, not that we're going out and living like the world, but Lord, we can be slothful at times. We can maybe use an unkind word that our flesh is in a certain state. We're not prayed up, maybe. Not intending to hurt anyone, but we can do that nevertheless. And recognizing that, Lord, we want to, every one of us, we want to be able to say all is well. We want to be a blessing to our brothers and sisters, not a hindrance, but a help. We want everything that we do to be edifying to the body. So, Lord, search us, try us, we pray. And, Lord, if we've confessed everything, then, Lord, may we just come to the table with boldness here tonight. A lot of times people think, when we say boldness, they think it means cockiness or too much confidence. That's not what we're saying at all, but we're saying that we come in love, knowing that we're your children and that we have every right to come to your table. So the boldness is towards the enemy. The enemy's trying to give us reasons why we can't come to the table. In that sense, Lord, sometimes the enemy is actually working on our behalf, because he brings these accusations, and then we've got to search our hearts and search the Word, see if there's anything to what he's bringing. Lord, if there isn't anything to it, then we put it behind us and don't let it hinder us. But if there is something to it, then we take it out of the way so that the enemy can't bring that up. So won't you grant that here tonight, Lord, as we come to the table once again. Bless my brothers, bless my sisters. May each and every one be able to say tonight, all is well. We love you and we thank you, Lord, for this grand opportunity. And we thank you for one another. In your precious name, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. And the people say, amen. Amen. Blessed be his wonderful name. Do you love him? This should be a happy time.
Amen.
Should be a not that we're insincere or loose, but should be a happy time. Thank you, Lord. I want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Lord, you've been so good. Been so good. I just want to thank you, Lord. Lord, you saved my soul. Yes, you saved my soul. Lord, you saved just want to thank you, Lord. And you made me whole, Lord. You made me whole. Lord, you made me whole. Lord, you made
just want to thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Yes, I thank you. I thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Yes, I thank you, Lord. I I just want.